Welcome to episode 231 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be many links with more information about today's topic on the show page. You can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Many links.
Many links. Yeah, we're looking up insect intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while to get past the woo-hoo-hoo. Well, basically all the links that are to something the equivalent of this show. Lots of little YouTubers and so forth got excited about the idea of smart insects.
I guess it's something to talk about.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, we have already talked about it. We did talk about that and a few other things on Monday.
We're talking about bugs?
Bugs, insects, intelligent insects. That's what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Like I notice sometimes we get to chatter, right?
Right.
And it's all fun and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't say the subject of the episode until we're like halfway through it. And it's like, oh, by the way, we're going to talk about
bugs, like, I mean, ants, bees,
are the ones. It seems like they're not really that intelligent,
mm-hmm.
but they're the smartest of the bugs. And they seem to be those social insects.
Yeah.
Although I was just reading about, excuse me a moment. I was just reading about social insects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't strike me as especially smart. I guess there's some aphids that do the whole hive thing. And aphids are dumb.
Yeah. Aphids get farmed by ants.
Yeah, speaking of a sign of intelligence.
Yeah. cool.
Yeah.
I look forward to this. It goes contrary now.
We've actually covered everything I was going to say, and now I'm going to have to look stuff up. So, I hear you have news.
Yeah, on a completely different note. dry, irritated.
what are you talking about?
The clear eyes guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Apparently, in efforts to study DED, dry eye disease, I mean...
That's a thing.
That's a thing. They made an eye. In a tube.
Neat.
Well, they call it an eye on a chip, but it's an eye. Okay, so they take this little, they call it a scaffolding. It was made with a 3D printer.
Ah, I was wondering when they get to, yeah, keep going.
It's about the size of a dime, and then they grow eye cells on it.
Aha, I was wondering when they were going to get to that. That's been around for a while. They used to take tissue from cadavers,
mm-hmm.
and then they'd use detergent to leave nothing behind but the connective stuff.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And then they'd put in some cells,
mm-hmm.
and lo and behold, yeah, you have to get the right kind of cells.
Okay.
Stem cells.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be all the way back to the original kind of stem cells. It's like that fate restriction thing. As cells move along.
You were saying.
Yeah. They get fewer and fewer choices until they're finally this kind of cell.
So you want.
But induced pleural potential. They got the. You know what? We can do a whole episode.
Well, anyways, the mechanics of how they're mimicking the lid blinking.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get into that. And also, I don't know. They said the lid is a slab of gelatin. They keep talking about it like, oh, you can just look at the picture. Like, this is colored this color, and this is colored that color.
And that's supposed to tell you something?
Yeah, but I don't see the picture, and,
You don't see the picture?
I mean,
that's my shtick.
I know. I need one of these eyes on a chip. To help me out here.
You're just looking at something that just shows you the headlines? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Should I mention, this is coming from Science Daily. They've got both of my news stories, except for the one that we've already talked about.
Yeah, they'll be really excited about that unsolicited, unpaid endorsement you just gave them.
Yeah. Well, you want links eventually, right? Links.
Well, yeah, we should do that. And maybe you could have looked at the picture. I don't know.
I don't know where the picture is. I swear. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I didn't know we were talking about bugs. The next bit's about birds.
Okay.
Apparently, being hunted by predators and whatnot can make them exhibit PTSD-like symptoms. And I'm like, Well, isn't that what a bird is all the time?
Yeah, stack of hill tubs right there.
Mm-hmm. hill tubs? Hill tubs.
That's an anagram for, starts with bowl, rhymes with it. Right, I'm sure, actually, it probably is stressful for them.
Yeah.
Signs for PTSD. You remember our parakeet?
Right, right.
Just wanted to get out of that cage. Spent hours and hours. Tunk, 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 tunk. Then one day the poor little bird made it. And just... Rabbit the cat does this like inverted triple lux grab the bird thing. Well, we rescued the bird. It lived for several years longer after that. But it never tried to get out of that cage again.
It's dangerous out there.
I need a name for some digital critters.
Digital critters.
Yeah, because I had the figures, sublick based things, and they were interested in everything, but I'd like to take everything I learned from them and do it right this time.
you spat some code at me. I don't understand.
It's so elegant and simple when these things start out. It's a whole whopping five lines. Seven, if you include a couple of declarations in there. Seven lines of code. It's not going to stay that pretty.
Seven. I'm sorry about that. Seven. Okay, that reminds me of biblical stories.
But okay, well, fine. Give me a biblical name. We got to name these.
Jehovah?
These are jumping Jehoshaphats. Intelligent insects. Intelligence is a relative term.
Yes.
Most of the insects that are considered to be intelligent are the social insects.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And there's a whole sort of spectrum on sociability in insects, anything from every now and then they swarm to, hey, we all build a hive together, and only a few of us make babies.
Right.
That last one is particular. You call it eusocial or eusocial. Eusocial.
Eusocial. I gotcha. I see your problem. Yeah.
No dash or hyphen or anything. EUSO, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the European Union here.
So that's the bees, the ants, the wheel of queen?
There's bees, wasps, ants, termites, cockroaches. It's actually a fairly rare trait, and the characteristics of it include a small number who actually do have offspring.
Okay.
Sometimes even just one.
Mm-hmm.
A large number who work for the good of the hive but never reproduce.
Oh, poor people.
Yeah, various worker castes.
Wait, I don't mean poor people.
and having multi-generations within the nest to help care for the young, build and maintain the nest, and repel predators. So, yeah, and this seemingly rare, but when it does happen, at least in the insect kingdom, they do great.
I'm not sure about this factoid, but I thought if you take all the ants and put them onto a plate and weigh them.
That would be fun.
And complicated.
I have also heard this particular factoid that they outnumber us both as individuals and pound for pound.
Mm.
I don't know if it's true or not. I believe it. Ants, there's so many ants. Thousands of different species. But anyway, I don't even want to talk about how intelligent they are. Honeybees, for example, turns out they can count.
What? Okay.
Up to three.
Oh. Well, they're actually counting, though, are they?
What they did is they had a spot where the bees would go to get food. And one of the spots would be the place where they would get the extra reward if they were willing to hang out for a little extra time.
Oh.
And yeah, they could learn whether it was going to be the first spot, second spot, or third spot.
Okay.
I guess once they moved past the third spot, they started getting confused.
They're just bees.
But other things claimed for honeybees, being able to recognize individual human faces. a human face has just got to be huge to them.
But if I fly right at it, watch this guy dance.
Yeah. Also, navigating, obviously. Mm. A sort of symbolic language, although it's not a true language, mm-hmm. because they can't express an arbitrary concept. All they can tell each other with their funny little dance that they go back into the hive and do is where the food is and how much food there is.
That's a lot, though.
That is.
It's a bug, yeah. For goodness sakes.
But they do that. Mm-hmm. Ants, on the other hand. Oh, my goodness. The factoid I'm seeing, and I'm still calling it a factoid because I haven't seen it from a decent source.
Gotcha.
Is that they have the largest brain in the insect world.
I can see why you're hesitant to, I mean.
Yeah, it's not like we've seen every single insect on the planet anyway.
Yeah, we're still finding them.
Yeah. About 250,000 neurons in your average ant's head.
Okay.
And they do things like save each other from trouble.
Hey.
Mix up antibiotics for their hive.
Also neat.
Yes, that one thing. They got medicine. Get that.
I'm Dr. Ant. I'm here to help you with your sore knee.
They have multiple ways of navigating the world, mm-hmm. including remembering the path that they've just taken. Mm-hmm. Dead reckoning. You know, the home is sort of that way, about that far.
Oh.
They also can recognize visual landmarks.
Okay.
And, of course, they can sniff around with their antennae.
But they can't find their way around the leaf.
That's a movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, they can.
I'm lost. Okay.
They do leave pheromones down when they find some food. Actually, what happens is the patroller ants go out, find the food.
Music, yeah, okay.
And then they lay down some pheromone trail to go back. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while before, like, all of the patroller ants go, okay, this is the spot. This is where we're going. Mm-hmm. And then the harvester ants come out, the ones that are actually going to get the food back to the nest.
Oh, okay.
And by that time, there's already a trail. So maybe the harvester, I'm lost! This is nothing compared to the Twig of 94!
It was a good movie, though. Anyway.
They also, in addition to that pheromone track, will tap each other with their antennae to let them know about how much food is there.
Oh, I thought they were just saying hi to each other.
Well, that too.
An ant. Oh, also
ants you. Also have domesticated fungus.
Oh, yes, right.
And, I mean, this is like full-on domestication. Domestication is defined as one group having a great control over the reproduction and welfare of another species.
Okay.
And it's a symbiotic relationship if you look at, oh, I don't know. I'd pick a plant. Pepper.
Okay. Wait. Come on, man.
There's a lot more pepper on the planet because humans like it.
Oh, yeah.
Than there would be without us cultivating pepper.
Right.
But just like in many human crops that cannot reproduce without our help, this fungus cannot reproduce without the ants' help.
Oh, it happens.
It has lost the ability to make mushrooms and spores.
Okay.
Yeah. On the other side, we also have animal domestication with ants, mostly aphids.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Farming. And, yeah, it's farming, including slaughtering occasionally, either because there's too many aphids or just because they're in the mood for meat that day, they'll eat some of the aphids.
Well, you know, people raise chickens.
Tool use. In ants.
Okay.
Yeah, this surprised the hell out of me. Apparently, a critter called a funnel ant, a couple of different species.
Okay.
And I guess most ants can expand their stomach.
Okay.
When they want to drink a lot of water, but these guys can't. Uh-oh. So what they do instead is they will take a chunk of soil or some moss or whatever and soak up the water.
Oh-ho! Okay.
And they did an experiment. Where, in addition to things they'd find naturally in their habitat, they also left chunks of sponge and some paper.
Oh, hey.
And they were like, here's some honey. Oh, incidentally, I got a kick out of this. Entomologists got with dealing with hive critters.
Yeah.
It's great because they're always hungry. You're working with a rat or whatever. He eats the food. He goes over there with like a burp.
Yeah. Just
screw you in your study.
I'm feeling kind of sleepy right now.
Yeah. But some of what they left behind was sponge and paper, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And the ants started using the sponge to soak up the honey.
Mm-hmm.
Because it worked better than soil. They even cut the sponge up into smaller, more manageable size pieces.
This is great. What is this? I don't care. Nice.
Yeah, but the thing is, these are all the social insects,
uh-huh.
Especially the eusocial ones. There's that term again that I really don't know.
Eusocial.
You're a salto.
Okay, gotcha.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be smart.
Mm-hmm.
Just being organized that way. There are colonies of aphids, for example, that also organize colonies that way and have like the queen aphid and all that.
Yeah.
But they're not especially smart.
I mean, they're aphids. How smart can they be? They're tiny.
There's a shrimp.
Oh.
That also are eusocial.
Okay.
Live inside sponges. They're not especially smart. There's the naked mole rat. One of only two mammals that are eusocial like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not especially smart. And there's this theory kicking around that being social caused intelligence. And I think it depends upon what you are doing when you are social. Something like cooperative hunting, that seems like it would take more brains. Then, I don't know, we're all going to live here and eat the tree we live in.
this tree right here? Yeah, this tree right here. Okay. I like this tree.
But, looking into this, at least as far as cooperative behavior, I've got my little digital organisms, and we're working on a new batch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call them Dorg.
Dorg.
Dorg. Yeah, the Borg, right?
Yeah.
Their slow-witted country cousin. Instead of you will be assimilated, it's why won't you assimilate us?
Us too, man.
But I've been wondering how I'm going to try and induce cooperation. And while I was reading an article on the naked mole rat, actually, it gave an interesting notion is that the food source they use is rare and spread out. If they lived by themselves, they'd starve to death before they find one.
Okay.
But if they're all cooperating, all it takes is one little mole rat. I found it! Now, this is something I can actually implement. A large search space, and I can force them to want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Otherwise, they die. You think scientists are mean to real animals, you know, when we build it. But there's another twist. I'm talking about how rare it is. In one particular order of insect, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce this name.
Okay.
It's the one that gives us bees and wasps and ants. It's happened 7 to 10 times independently. And they have a particular method of reproduction that might have something to do with why it's happened so often in this order, and it's so rare otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the way that the gender of their children is determined.
Oh.
Now, there's a couple of different ways. For us, it's the XY chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
Two X's, you get a female. An X and a Y, you get a male.
Yeah, and it's kind of a crapshoot.
There are critters where it's temperature of the egg while gestation takes place.
Turtles.
For these insects, males have half the chromosomes.
Okay.
They are haploid.
Oh. I mean, they were walking around haploid.
Walking and flying, you betcha. Walking and talking.
I don't feel whole.
Their entire genome comes from their mother.
Oh.
Whereas the female children
mm-hmm.
are a mix of the mother and father diploid cells. Twice as many chromosomes.
Well, we can see how important the males are to this process.
Yeah, an interesting twist on this is that it means no male ever has a son. They can have grandchildren.
Hmm.
And Darwin was a little confused about the whole eutrophil thing.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it might actually kill his theory at one point. But then the notion being that if you're giving up reproduction helps keep related genes going,
mm-hmm.
that'd be good enough. Well, for the female workers, the children being born from the queen mother
mm-hmm.
has approximately 75% the same DNA as them.
Okay.
Where the males only have 25%. And if they had children, it would only be 50%.
Right.
So, yeah, more genes are the same, if you're going to go with that kin selection theory.
Gotcha.
And again, this is something I can actually implement. Weird half-gene males, you bet. But I'm making no promises. It's going to be, I don't know, days, weeks, months, years before I get around to doing these experiments. So nobody out there hold your breath, unless that's what you're into.
We do it before every recording.
All right. We will come back next week and talk about some other critters.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully find some of the smart ones and how and why they are smart.
Okay.
And we'll see you then.
Bye.